Hang on, I need to take a step back from Instagram. At a certain point, it's just too much stuff.
I know. It's too much screen time.
I know this is like something I probably should have figured out years ago, but it's I don't think it's adding as much as it used to, maybe to my life.
Maybe it never did.
No, I think it did at some point. I think it really was something that mattered to me, and I felt like I was looking for something, I guess.
You found it?
I found it in Jesus.
Wow. You found Jesus through Reels?
He spoke to me. He said, "Alex, get back to work." Three, two, one. Kevin, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, what up?
Long distance podcasting.
I know. We'll be, I think we got four in a row here.
Yeah. Are you back in New York sometime in May?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm probably going to be at, well, actually, I don't know yet. I might stay another week, but
okay. I don't know my schedule, so TBD how these pods and where they're going to be. But for now, we're distanced. We're socially distanced.
Yeah.
That's correct. Is this is your mom's house?
Yeah, this is the dining room at my mom's house.
This is the same scene where she famously interrupted the pod.
I know.
And said, "Oh, Mom, I'm podcasting." One of the greatest moments in our show's history.
I know. I just had to send her upstairs.
Yeah.
She's on the phone. I said, "Hey,
Mom.
Either you got to go up or I got to go up, and it's a lot easier for you." So,
well, how is home?
It's good. It's relaxing.
It's good.
Yeah.
The city welcome you back with open arms.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's nice here. Spring, really green, a lot of trees, a lot of grass.
Hell yeah.
Good stuff.
Sick. Kevin, the Knicks are back.
I saw that. I'm kind of bummed I'm not in New York for Knicks mania.
I will say, by the time this podcast comes out, it's potential that the Knicks are dead. I just want to say that as well. The Knicks are both back and also dead.
I'm not that slow at editing this.
Honestly, though, we I'm not sure we're moving in the right direction. Like, I think I didn't want, you know, when your team isn't that good, but they're playing well. And you don't want to be the guy that's like, this team isn't really that good, but like, you know, deep down that they're not that good. That's kind of how this basketball team feels. Like, I know that they can't win a championship, but they're fun to watch.
Hey, but that's okay. They got a favorable matchup to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. So
no, you only can play your competition, but like, and
you guys had one bad game. You guys had a horrible game against Cleveland. I think you'd be fine. You can't like
Miami.
No, you had, I mean, you did have a horrible game against Miami, but in the first series, you had one horrible game against Cleveland, and you bounced
back.
So
I think if we win tonight, then officially the championship run is back on.
Yeah,
I mean, if we lose today, I'm going to call it right now, must-win game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose two in a row.
Can't lose. You can't. It's over. Yeah,
it's bad.
But Jimmy Butler's hurt, and I think the Knicks are not a good basketball team, but
they're not,
I'm not
the
giving
best
up hope, and we're here. We didn't come this far to come this far, and I do want to believe that we can. We can make this a series, and to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals would be massive. I think there's no way that this Knicks team is going to beat the Heat in like five. Like this is a series that's going to go six or seven. So we gonna have to win some games on the road now, and we'll see how it goes. But Kevin, we shouldn't be talking about basketball, Kevin, because last night was fashion's biggest night.
Oh yeah,
Kevin, as a fashion podcast, a pop culture fashion enthusiast podcast, we got to talk about the Met Gala.
We have to, yeah,
yeah. How was it? Was what do you think?
I didn't watch any of it. I just looked at the first publication that had a lot of fits on it,
and that
happened to be the New York Post. I had some deja vu this morning because I feel like I did this exact same thing last year. But I think it was cool. I mean,
yeah,
people were a little upset about Karl Lagerfeld and his problematic past, but I didn't look into it. So
yeah.
He was born
in 1933, so if he didn't have any problematic takes, I think that would be more shocking, I think.
Yeah.
And he worked in fashion his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I know about Karl Lagerfeld is he had a cat and he liked doing black and white.
Big year for cats, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Huge, 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 huge. Obviously, first our rebrand for Catkin, and now Jared Leto, Doja Cat, and many others at the Met Gala were all cat-themed.
Who do you think had the better cat fit, Doja Cat or Jared Leto?
I think Doja Cat. And yeah. I'll tell you why. Because I think it's a hard thing to both dress as a cat and also look high-end fashion.
Yeah.
And somehow she pulled that off, which is remarkable. Like, the fact that she looked stunning and elegant and, you know, sort of fancy. Because it is a very fancy occasion. So to be both kind of crazy out there, because I think that's also what the Met Gala has also become, this sort of place where people can dress insane, and like that's what people kind of want. They don't want to see you like look beautiful and elegant. They want to see some people push the envelope, and I think she did that while also looking really gorgeous, which I think was really cool. While Jared Leto, this was just kind of like a cat costume. A pretty cool looking one, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it kind of was like an Easter Bunny type costume. I'm a notorious Jared Leto hater. I think he's weird. He has a cult. Mm-hmm. But I liked the absurdity of his outfit. And he should have kept that the head on the whole time. I know it's about having FaceTime at the Met Gala, but you know, maybe pop it off for one picture and then just, you know, continue on with your night and you got to keep that mascot head on.
Yeah, I got to go full mascot. Yeah, I hear you. But also, I think then maybe people be like, is that really him? Is he really, you know, is it? What does he look like underneath there? And I think it was cool to see, that he had sort of, it looked hot too. You know what I mean? That's another thing. It's like this, as Justin Genak told us when he talked about being a mascot on our pod a couple weeks ago. I think being a mascot is, you know, it's not as fun as it looks.
Oh, no, it's definitely not as fun as it looks.
No.
That suit looked awful, but
yeah.
It's the Met Gala, dude. You got to show out.
Yeah, it's fashion's biggest night, man.
Yeah.
And we're here to break down all the looks and all the fashion.
Yeah, we're two fashionable guys. Just break down the looks.
It's funny because it's a party, right? It's like it's a gala, and they raise money for the Metropolitan Museum. Like, there's no TV broadcast of it. It's just a dinner.
Yeah, there's
a lot of famous people.
I saw some people on Twitter complaining about how hard it was to watch it.
Well, it was. They now do something on television where they basically just do a red carpet and they just talk to people. And so now it's just a red carpet for dinner, basically.
Great.
And it does work well on Instagram, a platform, obviously, where people are just there looking for photos. And I do think that's where it really shines. But it is interesting that it's like it's just a fundraiser. But it's turned into this red carpet that really, I don't know, it's become a showcase for celebrities. To be invited is a big deal. There was some Slack channel messaging going on at the Center Studio, and people calling, you know, bringing their favorite outfits of the show or the gala, and I didn't know who any of those people were. I'm going to be honest, Kevin. A real old head moment for me.
Yeah, it's okay.
I only know a couple.
Do you have any favorites that you saw? I liked, obviously, big little Nas X guy. I think he, I think he fucked it up with his whatever that was. It was sick.
He just kind of, I mean, he's going for the controversial, I'm here to, you know, break necks and make some people mad moves, which I do appreciate. And he did deliver in that way.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what you got to do with, if you're going to the Met Gala. So, you know, shout out to him. He had a sick fit. And then Janelle Monáe, she was my favorite.
I did see Janelle Monáe's look. Yeah, that was sick.
That dress she was wearing, pretty sick.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked ASAP. I thought the, you know, sort of the ASAP look was cool with the jeans and the sort of like Carl skirt thing. ASAP Rocky he's married to Rihanna, so he can kind of do whatever the fuck he wants now.
Did you see him jump over the gate?
I did see that. That was pretty cool, man. He's such a rebel. Can I say one thing about A$AP Rocky? I saw him live once in concert, and I want to say he's one of the worst live performers I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely terrible. Post pandemic.
I saw him in like 2015, and I had a good time. Maybe it was like lip syncing, or I don't know what he was doing.
He was performing at a festival, so it was like 50,000, 60,000 people there, and it just looked like he just was like, The way he's performing is as if no one told him that he had a microphone, so he didn't have to scream to reach the back of the fest, like the whole, like he didn't need to raise his voice. There's yeah. giant speakers there, and that's how concerts work. So if he whispered or he sang or he rapped at a low voice, that everyone would still be able to hear it. He was screaming like, like every verse, every rap, everything was just, he was trying to project very loudly. And I was like, wow, this is truly awful. Like, I can't listen to this anymore. And I was like, maybe he just like had an off night or whatever. And then I saw on Instagram a concert that he did just the other day. It was this week, and Pharrell was there and he was performing and he was still screaming. I was like, what the fuck? This guy is awful.
I think his focus has shifted maybe a bit from music since his heyday, since Long Live yeah. ASAP.
I don't know what his focus is on, but just being celebrity and being a partner to Rihanna and
multidisciplinary designer.
Yeah, he doesn't need to really perform, but I think of him as a rapper. And I think he has good music. Like, I think his albums, I have affinity for some of his early albums. I just thought it was funny. It's rarely you see someone that like can't perform live or is really bad these days. And I was pretty shocked by how
yeah.
poor the show was. Yeah, Kevin, there were some brick fits as well, of course.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. He bricked that fit.
He, you know, Patrick Mahomes is not a cool guy. Let's just start there.
Not my quarterback.
No, dude, your quarterback would have looked. He would have showed up.
I mean, I don't think he would have done. I don't think he would have done anything crazy. Like, I mean, he would have looked good, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see Shai from the OKC Thunder? He had a sick fit on. I forgot to include him in the doc, but
the roundup.
Yeah, yeah, he was real. He's very fashionable. He's probably top NBA. He's probably top fashionable athlete.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he goes hard.
I saw some athletes there. I saw Dwayne Wade. I mean, I'm sick of Dwayne Wade. Get out of here, Dwayne Wade. I mean, maybe I'm just because of the Miami Heat thing right now. He's at the Garden cheering on the Heat. Just get fuck out of here. Yeah, a bunch of athletes there. I always think it's weird. Like, how do they determine which athletes get to go to these things? Because like,
don't you just buy your own ticket?
No, I don't think that's how it works. I think you have to be invited. It's like an invite only thing. So you would think that most athletes would want to go. I would assume that
maybe
most everyone wants to go. So which athletes get the sort of golden ticket to the Met Gala it makes me curious. I know that what's her face from Vogue, Anna Wintour, she's a big tennis fan.
Yeah.
So you do see a lot of tennis stars, more tennis athletes at the Met Gala than any other because of her personal affinity for tennis. That's an inside scoop.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I think athletes, you know, they tend to look out of place there, I think, for the most part. Russell Westbrook, I thought, looked fine. He didn't look particularly great, but yeah, I don't see a lot of good male dressers.
Look at Shai.
Katie looks dumb. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I kind of liked what Diddy was wearing.
Yeah. I don't know about Diddy. I thought the red carpet from a design perspective looked terrible.
Oh, yeah. People were saying it looked like Aquafresh.
Yeah. I couldn't put my finger on what it was, but it looked really bad.
Shit looked like toothpaste. You know,
yeah.
Not many people knew this, but
kind of dirty.
Karl Lagerfeld loved toothpaste.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why white and red with the blue stripes? That shit looked terrible. And then, oh, my favorite moment of the whole night, Kevin, the cockroach. Did you see that?
I did see the cockroach. That's New York, baby.
To me, that's fucking New York City.
NYC's back, baby.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You can't keep the cockroaches out of the Met Gala. Come on.
Yeah.
I love that. That was my personal favorite moment.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Do you think it was an inside job?
Good question. No, I think New York is actually legitimately dirty.
Pizza rat, fashion cockroach. What do you think? I could see it.
Fashion cockroach is
Anna Wintour putting it in her pocket, saving it for later, releasing it down the red carpet. It doesn't add up. How is there a cockroach at the Met? Mm-hmm. I've never seen a cockroach there. I've been there a couple times too.
I've been there in the last.
I'm
month
sure
too,
they
yeah.
clean it. I'm sure they've got the best exterminators. There's no way a cockroach.
Fashion's biggest night. You don't think you're saying inside job.
Yeah, you think that cockroach paid for a ticket?
Yeah, of course.
They let it stay.
Pay. Yeah. To pay for the new wing, you know?
Yeah, I think it says a lot about Karl Lagerfeld's legacy that they let the cockroach walk down the runway. I think that was the most Fashion. Yeah, that was the most fashion fitting social tribute. Justice tribute yeah. they could have done. Because he's
yeah.
he probably, you know, if you believe in reincarnation and yeah. you believe all that stuff that the internet was yeah. saying, probably came back good. As a cockroach.
I like this theory, Kevin. Yeah. Karl Lagerfeld was there.
yeah. Spirit of cockroach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like there's a cameraman like trying to take a photo of it. And then at some point I was just like, maybe I should step on this thing. And it's like, maybe
did he step on it?
I think at some point he tried to, and then I think he gave up on the
idea. Oh, come on, man. You can't be killing a bug on national TV.
On a white red carpet.
Yeah.
That was the thing. So that was my personal favorite moment. And can't wait to really relive it all again next year.
I'm gonna let you finish, but that cockroach had the hardest fit.
It really was special to me. Yeah, they should have had pizza. Where was Pizza Rat?
Next year, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they should up the ante next year. Get a rat in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like no. big, I mean, this like is New York City. Yeah. Yeah, with like a big soft pretzel or something.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be sick. Kevin, we have a lot of important stories to talk about this week.
Yeah, I know. We got to move.
So we got to move on. The Met Gala talk, all the looks, all the fashion, fashion's biggest night. Johnny Ives typeface that he's been working on for 4 years.
Wow.
And it's still not done.
Wow.
The story comes from Fast Company. Johnny Ive, obviously, is the longtime chief design officer, I believe was his title, at Apple. He's famous for making some of the world's best products from a product design perspective. The iPhone, the iPod, you ever heard of him? Wow. Johnny Ive is a certified legend in design. And he left Apple after multiple decades there in 2019 to start his own design studio called Love From. We started Center not too different in time. So, you know, two legends.
One and the same.
Myself and Johnny leaving giant companies to start our own studios. You know, we have a lot in common. And he started the studio Love From, and they've been pretty secretive. I think you haven't seen a ton from them over the years. They do have a website and apparently 40-plus designers, so they are considerably bigger than us. And they've been working with clients like Airbnb, Ferrari, Moncler, while most importantly working on a typeface. And this week, that typeface is front and center. And it is called Love From Serif. And it is a modernization and an upgrade of the famous typeface Baskerville. And yeah, I think Johnny is most famous for the Apple identity, you know, in terms of like his general aesthetic being clean and simple and rounded. And he often says aluminium, which is kind of like what he is you know, most memed for.
Probably what he's most famous for.
I think he's most famous for aluminium. Yeah. And I think people for his own studio, I think you would expect a bit of that Apple aesthetic.
Yeah.
You would think that it would sort of translate. And so I do like the idea that he created this serif typeface that is sort of a bit of a, it's kind of goes the other way.
Yeah.
So
created, hard to say if that's the correct.
Yes. Yes. You know,
refined, iterated.
Yeah. So basically the story here is incredibly long. I think one thing Kevin and I both, we were like, while reading the story, it's like, it is a novel about this typeface.
It's just like a throwback to a different time design where people just took themselves incredibly seriously.
Yes.
There's like a Fast Company article, and I swear to God, it's probably 15 paragraphs, 20 paragraphs, like of just straight up bullshit. You know, Johnny Ives is so far up his ass, he's inside out.
It is a love letter to perfection. I think, you know, this article talks about sort of him bringing in mathematical experts and people that sort of are sort of diagnosing and sort of trying to create a typeface that is with an obsessive amount of detail and dedication to perfection. And I think that is sort of the spirit of their studio, which is, it's all about craft. It's not just about sort of creating something that's good or average, but taking its time to pursue perfection, empirical shapes, empirical proportions, and that is sort of what they are after.
Continuous curves. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy that they're saying that because, I mean, this typeface is looking pretty average to me.
Yeah, yeah. So I think here's what I'll say. This whole thing feels like the absolute most sort of navel-gazing, self-congratulatory sort of bullshit. Sorry, my microphone just fell. You know, it really does feel like they are, yeah, they're just celebrating themselves and this typeface and this sort of project that they are just spending this amount of time to create something that is just so in their minds perfect. And yeah. I think it's just about genuinely the like you said, sort of this design point of view and this design sensibility that feels like it came from a different decade, a time when white tablecloth and sort of this idea of craft. And listen, I love craft. I think creating things that are beautiful is important, but I don't think that I resonate with this sort of point of view and this sort of positioning of design. And in some ways that is interesting, but this idea of love and fury and, you know, sort of this obsessive approach to design where they use scientists and physicists and talk about perfection and empirical proportions, it does make me a bit nauseous. There's some really crazy quotes here, but like, it's about the love of doing something and doing it well. That's the reason why they're doing this. It feels like the antithesis to the design sensibilities that we believe in, which is actually interesting to me, because it's like, to me, it actually gives center like a bit of a foil in many ways, because I do think this idea of design has been something that has been practiced and celebrated a lot in my youth, but I feel like it has gone away a little bit. This sort of pinkies up, like black turtlenecks, like basic, you know, an architect's approach to craftsmanship and design versus making things that people actually love versus things that just like are for the sake of perfection. And I don't think people love things because they're perfect.
Yeah, I think this is the most Northern California bullshit I've ever seen in my life. This is like, this reminds me of that South Park episode where they're all driving Priuses and smelling their own farts.
Exactly. And I think, to be honest, that maybe has been missing in design for a little bit, right? There hasn't been...
I don't think so.
Yeah, R&P. there hasn't been the smell your own farts sort of aesthetic or, you know, sort of point of view as much in the last 10 years or so. And I guess Johnny's bringing it back. And so one of my favorite things to come out of this story is David Rudnick, who's a designer that had a pretty good quote and a pretty great take on this on Twitter. It said, you know, to be clear, commissioning a beautiful, engineered, lovely revival of Baskerville is a charming, sweet thing that the very wealthy might do, like having a vintage Rolls breathtakingly restored, but then saying you made the Rolls Royce and that you designed your first car is turdsome. Mwah. Turdsome is perfectly used there in terms of perfection right there is, turdsome, the use of turdsome.
Yeah,
because it's true. It's not that it's not interesting, and it's not that it's not charming, or it's not that it's not beautiful, and it's not that it's not interesting to look at and to read about. But I think it's the way in which they're celebrating it that makes it feel as turdsome as it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they've been in the lab for 4 years and haven't picked their head up and, you know, looked around and like it's like they haven't touched any grass in forever, and they've just been like super hyper focused, and they've just really lost the plot of, you know, probably their lives. I don't know.
Yeah, it gives me a bit of a Tom Sachs studio energy, you know. There was a lot of a story and discourse around Tom Sachs's art studio where they all wear matching jumpsuits and apparently they eat together and drop their forks at the same time and go running in the morning together and lots of other really very culty things, and including some very problematic ones. This has a bit of that feel as well, where it's like, you know, at Love From, we are, you know, sort of dedicated to the craft of perfection and empirical forms. And I'm sure that I'd be very curious to see the studio that these people are working out of, and the rounded corners and the angles. I don't know if Kevin, I'd be curious. I feel like very similar to us, right? With the way our forms and our forks are displayed here at the studio, right?
Yes.
Very similar. Also, I just want to say this. 4 years, Johnny Ive. I'm not calling you out. Let's see some of the work.
Yeah,
let's see some of the stuff that the clients that you've worked for that you've done. Like, I get, making your own typeface and making your own work is important and beautiful. And yeah, I do think there's some pretty there's some merit here to what you're doing. I just don't like the way you're talking about it. But let's see some of the design. Let's see some of the stuff that the 40 people are working on. I know it's cool to be so secretive, but like, come on, let's see what you did for Ferrari. Let's see what you're doing for Airbnb.
It's too cool and it doesn't matter. You don't need to see it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's so sick, but like, it's just behind the doors. You know why? Because I think that idea of perfection works when you're making Apple products and you're making some things that technology in many ways, like, you know, when you're making structural designed things, product design.
Yeah.
And industrial design sensibilities is obviously what Johnny Ive is known for. But you know, now you're coming to graphic design, and not to say that the studio isn't doing industrial design, because I think they're doing a little bit of both. But I'd be curious. I want to see some of this graphic design. I want to see some of this branding. I want to see some of this Airbnb stuff. Right, Kev?
Yeah, I don't really care. I don't give a shit what he's doing. I don't need to see it.
I want to see it. Kevin, moving on. Fruit by the Foot, Gushers, Fruit Roll-Ups. Those are iconic brands of my childhood. Kevin, did you grow up eating those things?
Love me some candy. Love me some sugary treats. I used to eat the plastic on the Fruit Roll-Up because I just would get frustrated. Yeah, I used to get frustrated. I couldn't unroll it. So, you know, just I would munch the plastic.
Yeah. No, that's like me with shrimp sometimes, you know, just when you can't get that outer layer, you can't get the shrimp out.
Yeah, you totally can eat that, though.
Like, I know. I'm sure the same thing applies for for roll-ups.
Yeah, sure. Surely it didn't mess me up in any way.
So, Kevin, fun fact about me, I did not eat any of these as a child.
Wow.
Yeah. I grew up the son of a dentist, and these three products specifically were banned in my household.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is a dentist's worst nightmare.
They literally are terrible products for your teeth. They get stuck in your teeth. They like literally cause cavities. And for those reasons, they were holy grail items for me when I went to my friend's house or I was anywhere outside of my home, that I could have some of the, I could taste that sweet, sweet sugar of Gushers, you know, sort of exploding into my mouth. That was a forbidden fruit, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, hell.
Why? Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say something like I was going to say something about exploding in my mouth.
I had a feeling you might say something about the juices exploding in my mouth. I'm waiting for it, Kevin. Come on.
I don't have anything on deck.
Okay, cool. This year you've seen Soda Brand, all of them rebranding, updating, modernize. And this story comes from the Dialine, of course. And it is now time for General Mills, who is the maker of both of Gushers, Fruit by the Foot, and Fruit Roll-Ups, all to revamp its fruit snacks portfolio. To do so, they reached out to the brand design agency Pearl Fisher, led by our friend Hamish. They have brought a new aesthetic to these childhood snacks. All three of them have received a refresh package design. All three of them have new modern logos and pretty big changes to the brands, while still maintaining some of the things that they are iconic for. I would say that they have changed significantly while maintaining some of the sort of iconic assets that they are known for.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive that they were able to rock that like 3D like gradient style type for as long as they did, because that's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's really interesting actually to look at the old versus the new side by side and to see how, you know, it's interesting because in, you know, sort of in a supermarket, these products need to read as new, but they also need to read as sort of consistent with the old. Because I would imagine there's definitely a lot of people, parents and the like, that are used to these products looking a certain way. So I would imagine that there was a desire for some consistency and some things that couldn't change. I would imagine Gushers needed to, like, even to the actual Gusher in the bottom right, squirting out the rainbow to the top left, like all that has kind of stayed from a layout and design perspective fairly consistent. What has changed is sort of the craftsmanship of that sort of logo, and then also some of the sort of the gushing.
Yeah, I mean that shit is gushing. You can't say what you will, but that shit's gushing.
Yeah, Gushers are my favorite of the three products. I'll say that. Gushers are a national treasure, and I think the logo the design of Gushers here is my personal favorite of the three as well. I think the new Gushers logo is very gloopy and fun. It you know, this is obviously a design trend that we've covered and talked about quite a bit. I think in this case it works and makes sense for the product, and I feel like it does bring a bit of a new exciting energy to this package design. I don't love the black. I feel like that feels a little out of place here for me, but I think outside of that, I think this is sort of a pretty big win for this package design update. Fruit by the Foot, at first I didn't realize that the logo was sort of mimicking the actual product. So for me, that's just me being dumb, but I didn't totally get it right away on first glance. But
well, I mean, I all do three think of this them, one, Alex. What if I told you all three of them took inspiration from the food forms that they're illustrating.
No, you are correct. All three of these products all grab influence from the regular product. I think the Fruit by the Foot logo is cool. I think it's interesting how they kept, again, like I said, the exact same fruit roll-up that was on the front of the pack. I actually like the inner packaging a little bit better without it. I think that kind of feels a little bit more iconic. It's a little bit cleaner. And then I think the fruit roll-up one is maybe my least favorite of the three. It feels like it just kind of, there's something about the tattoo tongue illustrations and how they kind of went around the product that I just think they were a little bit bolder and they felt a little bit more kind of like a sleeve of tattoos versus sort of just like, you know, sort of random kind of place tattoos. But maybe that's kind of
New trend.
That's the new trend, right? Like
people love
the Met Gala last night. You see a lot of celebrities like Dua Lipa or Phoebe Bridgers or whatever. They just kind of have these small little random tattoos all over the body. So maybe these are all on trend. I think this is a nice job by Pearl Fisher. I think one of the things that I can't help but be sad for is the deranged logos that they got rid of, because I think there's just something about them that is just so bizarre and psychotic that I kind of love them. Like, well,
they'll live forever in our minds, Alex.
Yeah, that's the good part about design. And they just if you look at them really closely, you realize that they are they're bad, you know, they're weird, and they're you know, Johnny Ive would not approve. They're certainly very much not perfect typography in any way. But there's something about them that just is it evokes a different time in design when I think like package designers were people that were very well versed in layers and shapes and gradients and drop shadows and just, you know, that kind of fun fucked up design of the 90s and 2000 early 2000s and even some in the 80s. Like, in some ways that is what I'm losing when you kind of simplify things.
And in some ways, though.
But I know this isn't for me, but, you know, we've talked a lot about food and beverage trends here in the studios. We work on a lot of food and beverage brands, but there is a bit of a resurgence to the psychotic and zany and crazy world of food packaging from the 90s. You see brands like Magic Spoon and Liquid Death sort of leaning into that. But
those are for adults. Like this is a strictly, like, these snacks are for babies, Alex. Magic Spoon,
I'm aware.
Spoon, that's for adults. you know?
Okay. So then I just think they go a bit counter trend, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's the wrong demographic or the wrong audience. So you think that kids are into things that are a bit more clean. They're into sort of a minimalist design. That's what you're trying to tell me.
I have no idea. I mean, I think the kids are really rocking with Johnny Ive.
Oh, they love Serifs. That's what they love Baskerville.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know what the kids like. I haven't researched it. I haven't done any strategy work with, you know, for, you know, a baby brand, but I'd imagine that Pearl Fisher did their due diligence and, trend reporting and studying and all that stuff that, you know, it goes into a presentation that this probably hits the mark for children. And I think we just gotta, you know, I love these logo. I love these old logos as much as the next person, but you know, things change, people change, you know, dust to dust. You gotta let it go. And, for the kids.
Yeah.
I'm
also incredibly jealous of, Hamish and Pearl Fisher to be able to sort of modernize and update these brands, because these are, as I mentioned, sort of these are like some of the most iconic childhood brands. And for me, because I wasn't able to eat them a ton, even though I did eat them, like, it's what a dream project to be able to sort of rebrand these things.
And honestly, probably a tough spot to be in, because there's so much legacy and love for like these former designs, and to even change them slightly, I'm sure they're getting some like backlash or, you know, whatever, whatever the, you know, people on the internet like to talk shit. So,
You had to move sort of gracefully here. I think that's one of the things. It's like, you got to be precious with some of these things. Like you said, people have a connection to them. And this was interesting. It's like, they have an emotional connection to these brands because they grew up with them, but also like the design of them is not necessarily crafted in a way that makes them like you could, they did the right thing, which was they kept some of the zany and weird and some of the cool parts of the brand that they just couldn't lose. And they updated and cleaned up and modernized some of the things that they could. And that's what they set out to do. And I think they did it in a way that makes a lot of sense. And I think they did it in a way that, you know, kept the nostalgia, but sort of just gave it a bit of a new polish.
Yeah.
And I think time will tell a little bit too with these things. Like, I think sometimes you just need to give them a little bit of time, because you have such a relationship and such a muscle memory for these things where you're like, I'm so used to it looking like this, that when you see it in the new version, you're like, ooh, I don't know, it doesn't feel the same. But I think that's just, you know, people don't like change.
Yeah. And last thing on this, for me is, you know, I think you were talking earlier, ranking them a little bit, going Gushers 1, Fruit by the Foot 2, Fruit Roll-Ups 3. I think not only does that live in like how I would like legitimately rank those products on based on what order I would eat them in and prefer to eat them in. I think it also, you know, I think the old packaging falls in that same order for me as well. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Gushers are the goat. Like, we can all agree there. Gushers is like a once in a lifetime product. And it's, it's cool. I like the new logo for Gushers. Like, I think I'm excited to see how they roll these things out. Like,
yeah,
they should bring back some of those fucking crazy commercials. Like, we've watched some of those old commercials in the studio, and it's just, they're so fucking crazy where people's heads pop off. And like, I don't know. There's a childlike wonder to these brands that, they couldn't walk away from, even though they were updating them. And like you said, that's a tough tightrope to walk, but I think they did it well. It does look like they're getting rid of the silver foil on the inner of the Fruit Roll-Ups, which I do think is something that is a bit iconic for me. I don't know if I would have done that, but hey, look, you know what? Congrats to those guys and, for doing this, the modern update to these iconic products. It's nice. It's a nice job.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the future. Mischief. Mischief is back. Mischief can't be stopped. The big red boots, finally, that
backward shoes.
Nightmare are over. Ooh, the backward shoes. I did not like the backward shoes.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the were they, would you call them backward shoes, or would you call
they were shoes that you could wear both ways. That was kind of the general concept. And they didn't work either way, but you could wear them front and back. And for some reason, Donald Glover wore them to like a basketball game. I think it was a Laker game.
Yeah, more like Donald Shoer.
Oh, wow. Damn, Kevin, you're on your fucking A game today.
Donald Soccer.
Oh, wow. Even better. You got another one?
No.
Yeah. So those were not my favorite. And
I agree. Kind of bricked.
But they hit it so hard with the big red boots, they honestly probably could just take the rest of the year off. Like those were everywhere, and they you know, they can't still, I still see them, and people are still like posting about them. So but Mischief, as you know, moves on, continues to drop new things, and because that's what they do. And so this week they put out Hot Chat 3000. So concept is really simple. You upload a photo, it judges you on a 1 to 10 scale of how hot you are by using AI technology, and then immediately puts you into a chat with someone else that has a similar ranking of hotness. Kevin, I got a 5.3.
I'm a 6.1. So, I mean, should we be talking right now? I feel like I'm a little bit out of your league.
I guess I'm a 5 and you're a 6. We're on the wrong. Yeah.
If we were on Hot Chat right now, we would not be speaking, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. Kevin, you're out of my league. But you know what? Again, we'll see where you stand in 10 years, I guess. You know, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll come back to this. This will definitely stand the test of time, and definitely we'll still be around in 10 years for sure. I think this idea is fun and very mischievy. It feels a bit like Hot or Not, right? Wasn't that like Mark Zuckerberg's first product design before Facebook, right? Was that?
Damn, they just ripped off Mark Zuckerberg.
They really did just rip off Mark Zuckerberg. I think it's a funny idea. I think it's silly. I don't know why it has to look like it was, you know, web 1.0. Like, that's one of the things I was like, it just has this aesthetic of the early internet era. It has like Mischief Online. I guess that's like Mischief does a lot of logo flips. They love a logo flip over there. Yeah.
They love nostalgia too.
And they do love nostalgia. And so this idea, they made a very conscious creative decision to use a early, you know, sort of internet aesthetic for this thing. And just don't know if that was necessary. I guess maybe it makes it feel less problematic, maybe. You know, like this idea of like ranking hotness, like if it was actually designed well, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, Alex, you can't rank hotness anymore, but back with Web 1.0, you're allowed to.
Honestly, that's not the craziest like take. I think, like, you know how they always say like South Park gets away with, you know, saying such crazy things is because they're kids, you know, they're children that are saying it. I think there's a little bit of truth to that here, where it's like this idea, it's fun and it's playful and it's like it's not too serious, it's just a joke because it has this like very internet 1.0 aesthetic. But if it was, you know, sort of looked any more fresh and modern and sort of like looked any more futuristic, I guess it might be kind of weird.
Like, yeah, it could be weird. It could be like, I think AI is, you know, obviously the cutting edge of technology right now, and it's very new. It's very fast. It's maybe a little scary. Maybe this is a nostalgic aesthetic to maybe ease some of that feeling of dystopian type nightmare stuff. And I don't know. It kind of makes sense now that we say it, and I'm coming around to the idea. Yeah,
we may have cracked something big here on the show.
We may have reverse engineered this concept.
No, it's true, because like Web3, the aesthetic of it, which is very much using the most sort of progressive and modern technology, has an aesthetic that is very much feels very early 1.0 internet aesthetic. So what we're both saying here is that is not only a creative decision, but it is also a decision that maybe eases the discomfort of the people that use it.
Yeah, it feels a little dumb, so you're more willing to like plug your photo into it. And I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're
maybe
right.
Maybe it's not that deep either. Maybe they just like that aesthetic for internet shit.
They do like that aesthetic. But I do think like it was when I got put into a chat with someone, I was like, why does this look like it was like, why do I look like I'm on an old Nokia phone? Like, why did they decide to do that?
Did anyone else plug in their coworkers and see where they ranked and ranked everyone in their office? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I didn't do that. I didn't.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that.
I surely didn't do everybody.
No.
But I don't know where I rank, so, you know.
Yeah.
I just know I'm above Alex.
Yeah, you got to know where your coworkers rank, you know, in terms of their hotness. But yeah, there were some higher ranking people in the studio. But yeah, no, I think this is a fun game. And I think I saw online that they had like something like 500,000 people on it at some point. So
wow.
Yeah, they're doing the damn thing. I just kind of wanted that like dating element of it. I just thought I would just love if someone found like,
bro, you got a wife or
something.
Dog.
No, not for me. I'm saying I want someone else to find love. Like I wanted to hear a story about someone that found love on the Hot or Not, like Hot Chat 3000 mischief app. Like I think that was an opportunity here for them to, to, you know, like a dating app. There's many weddings that are like, if it wasn't for Bumble, I wouldn't be here today.
And I mean,
there was a chance here for that.
But they released this like a week ago. I don't know that much about love, Alex, but a week's tough, you know. A tough turnaround for finding love. So maybe in a couple weeks, couple months, couple years comes out. We'll have to keep our eyes on this story, see where it goes.
Yeah, no, we'll see. I just think that it was both a hot rating app, but it also could have been a genius dating app. And I think that was part of their idea, right? Like that was the point. It's not just getting ranked, it's also being put into a chat room with someone else that is equally as hot, which I think is a silly and fun idea. I just kind of think that maybe it could have worked. Who knows? Maybe it did work. Maybe there's a couple that met and they decided to meet up and they fell in love.
Maybe.
I don't know that, but
you're just a hopeless romantic.
I'm just a hopeless romantic, Kevin. Last story of the day comes from our friends over at Liquid Death, and they have a new partnership with Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker. It is the Enema of the State collectible enema kit. Comes with a custom branded enema bulb and a 19.2 ounce can of Liquid Death autographed by Travis Barker himself. Only a few hundred in existence. Pretty cool packaging. And very Liquid Death. And,
very, very funny video.
Very funny video. This is kind of what you expect from them. Blink-182 is very much back in the news and all over my TikTok feed because I can't stop watching them perform I Miss You at Coachella.
Are you going to their MSG performance?
I don't know. I don't have tickets, but I would like to go. I think I should go. I mean, Blink-182 was a big part of my childhood, you know, in that sort of early 2000s pop punk era. These songs mean something to me. And Tom was out of the band for a while, and he's back. And
justice for Tom, dude. He was right the whole time, you know, with all these UFO
aliens
documents being declassified from the U.S. government. Tom should be vindicated, you know.
Big time. Yeah.
He was right.
He spent all of his Blink-182 money looking for aliens, and he was right. Aliens do exist.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's the next collab with Liquid Death.
I will say there's also a lot of TikTok content that shows like Blink-182 without Tom and then Blink-182 with Tom, because they did do shows and they did replace Tom, and it's not the same band. Like that band has three people in it and they're all equally important for that band. And so to hear Tom sing Blink-182 songs after, you know, a decade of him not being in the band, it is just like, talk about nostalgia, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, this show today has been a nostalgic show, from Gushers to Blink-182 to Baskerville. It, you know, nostalgia be hitting, and Blink-182 is back. And I think this is very Travis Barker or Blink-182 and Liquid Death. They're just like, it's a perfect brand match.
Yeah, dude needs to be drinking some water. He looks extremely dehydrated and honestly depleted of his life force and depleted of a soul. I don't know. I just, the look behind his eyes is just, it feels like there's nothing there, dude. Like, are the Kardashians sucking it out of him? I don't know.
He's a bit of a soft spoken person, I think, is what you're trying to get to. He, in these interviews, he does seem quite.
No, what I'm trying to get to is what I mellow. Said. I feel like he may not have a soul anymore. I'm not trying to say he's soft spoken or mellow. I'm trying to say I'm looking in his eyes and I don't know if there's anything behind there.
Well, he's had a tough go. He was in that plane crash where he lost like his friend who died, right? And then he had another friend who died. Like, I feel like he's had a tough go. But also, I agree with you. He does look like someone who needs to eat like a steak, because I feel like he's living off of some like very vegan,
daring chicken.
Yeah. He's eating only plant-based chicken. I don't think he drinks alcohol or does drugs. So I think
maybe fire those up again, dude.
I think what the man needs is he needs to take some low dose edibles, you know, just 2 milligrams, 4 milligrams, you know, nothing too crazy. And then you need to go to Peter Luger's and you need to get a big ass steak. And that I think it will bring Travis back to life, I think is what he needs.
Yeah, he looks depleted.
Yeah.
And the video is hilarious, and I think he played into his, like, I'm not too familiar with his character in Blink-182 or like if he's putting on a persona or anything, but
no.
He's
quiet. He's always been the quiet, yeah. Like, you know, Tom and Mark are like the funny, charismatic front people of that band. They act like they're teenagers and they make like childish jokes on stage. Travis Barker doesn't say a damn thing. He just fucking drums his face off and he's like one of the best drummers on planet Earth.
I mean,
he doesn't really have to say anything.
He probably is the best drummer on Earth. Yeah.
He's
up there.
That type of music. He is there. I don't know if there's a better drummer. He's incredible. He's absolutely a monster and he makes it look very easy and he crushes, but he doesn't say a lot. That's kind of his thing. And I think because of the Kardashian thing, people want to give him a hard time, but I just think this is who he is. He's just like kind of a quiet, soft-spoken dude. And he's now like very much into like wellness and, you know, spiritual shit. And he looks like he needs some red meat. That's my take on it. I don't think it's a Kardashian soul sucking thing. I think he had some friends die. I think he also had like a near-death experience. That shit will fuck you up, man.
I mean, now I'm sounding like a jerk. Maybe he just needs some milk.
He could use some milk. Yeah, I think again, a milk, a steak, a beer. You know, I think again, like those things are. It's you can't just live off of nuts and matcha.
Yeah.
You know, but did you see his son performed at Coachella? And he
no, I didn't.
Very good. Yeah, Landon Barker.
How old is his son?
Probably like 15 or something. He's he's pretty young, but he looks like an adult. He's a big TikTok star, Landon Barker.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's got a bit of that sort of like youthful, like, you know, sort of, he looks like he in The Cure or something. He looks like he's just very like, he looks like his life has been really hard, but he grew up in mansions in Calabasas. But, you know, he has a bit of that sort of that angsty, teen aesthetic.
Chip off the old block.
Exactly. But so he's also dabbles in performing music, and there's some pretty tough clips for Landon. So
if that's his teenage adversity, I think he'll be okay.
Exactly. But also, you know what? Children of rock stars, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a rock star yourself. Just like, you know, Michael Jordan's kid, you know, couldn't play basketball. Marcus.
I mean, Jimmy Butler's pretty good. People are saying potentially. They're saying there's some potential that Jimmy Butler is Michael Jordan's son.
Is that who said that?
That's a lot of people online are saying that.
I have a take. I'm gonna end the show with.
Yeah,
I think Bronny James is gonna be a bust. You heard it here first. I'm not believing it. I think if Bronny James was Bronny Stevenson.
Well, he wouldn't have the same genes, you know.
But I'm just saying, like, I think it's not about his genes, it's about his game. I just don't think his look.
I mean, it's a lot of big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill. Big shoes to fill.
But the scouting report is shoots good from three and plays defense well. So
we'll see. Again, this is a hot take. I'm just throwing it out there.
Time will tell. Old takes are exposed.
We'll see. I could be very wrong. Did you watch the session?
I did, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure you got my big shoes to fill reference.
Oh, yeah.
Big shoes. Did you see Jeremy Strong on the red carpet for the Met Gala?
I did. He looked good.
I thought he looked bad. I didn't think the Homer chain worked dramaturgically.
Yeah.
I thought it looked a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, I'm walking back my take now. He looked like a fucking Star Wars head.
Like Jeremy Strong. I like that he's like a very bizarre, strange like actor that only like gets into character, and he's method, and he uses big words, and he's super weird. Like there's something about that that I like. but the fashion that wasn't in.
Yeah.
And I like Homer. I think the Homer like chains and necklace, like to me, that shit is like very cool. It just wasn't styled right. We gotta go. Pot's over.
I gotta end this because people are coming in.
Okay. All right, end.
So can you see if you can use another Zoom thing? Just to make sure I don't want to not get this.
End the show.